Sweden's most famous and spectacular close encounter between a human and an unknown object occurred May 18, 1946. Gösta Karlsson, then 28 years old, stumbled upon a disc-shaped object and it grew in the outskirts of Angelholm. The incident has been under the investigation of UFO Sweden's chairman Claes Svahn and resulted in being published in the book The Meeting in the Forest Glade in 1995. The following is an extract from this book, written by Gösta Karlsson and Claes Svahn. The Meeting in the Forest Glade / Clearing. It is the 18th of May 1946, the clock is 10 p.m., the sky is dark blue and clear, a light breeze is blowing from the east. I once again have taken a seat on the fort's steel dome at Ervikstranden. I'm sitting and listening on the beautiful bird song by the thrush, robin and other birds joining the choir. As usual, the so-called Sjordamerna has really started to bubble with life by all the different birds that nest here. These dams really is a wonderful place for birds. Old trees are left standing, making them excellent homes to owls, woodpeckers and an unbelievable amount of other birds. Sure, it is hard for us humans to get here, but that's just the reason why nature has had its own way here. Time after time I have had this dream that one day I could make this place a bird reservation, and keep it just as it is forever. But one of the most positive thing in my life is that one day, my dream would become true. It started to get darker, and I realize it is time to head back home. It is now 10:45 p.m., I turn on my orientation lamp which I always carry with me on my evening strolls. I walked up on a little hill where you have a great view of both Kronans and Vidsholm's forest land. On the land of Vidsholm right after the bird dam, a short way into a birch forest consisting of big, old trees, there is a big grass glade, that I know of quite well. One of my youth's bad virtues was amongst others to get hold of bird eggs of all kind. Then, as now, this was of course against the law. But as young boys we didn't care much of what the law said, and the law wasn't that strict back then as it is now. In this very glade, yellowhammer, corn bunting, and different kinds of titlings, and in some of the old birches, tawny owls nested. By sheer coincidence, I look at the direction of the grass glade, which you can't see to clear by all the trees. At first, I thought I saw something shiny at the grass glade, but maybe it was just a reflectance from my lamp. I turn it off, but the light is still there. It might be early season campers or some youths that is hanging around the place, I thought. I decide to walk over there. I walk down the hill and jumped over a small hill that has been collecting rainwater. On my right there is a couple of sand hills with pines growing on them that obscure the glade a bit. I clear the pines and just as I am about to turn into the glade I spot something that's forever stuck in my memory. In the furthest part of the glade, just a couple of meters from a lonely pine, there is an illuminated graft, one of which I have never seen before or after. My first thought was that it was a carousal someone had drove there. But I soon realized that would be impossible, as there was no roads leading to the glade. The craft, or object, had the shape of a discus, and the craft is resting on a sturdy fin in the direction of the lonely pine, and two telescope legs, all three evenly spaced under the circle disc. In front of the fin on the craft's belly, there is a hatch open, with a ladder and leaders, like those ladders you see on boats. The hatch is about 1.5 meters above the ground and I can see how light is coming out from the opening. I try to look inside the craft but the angle is too narrow. All I can see is the bright light. On the craft top there is a streamlined cabin that I estimate to be around 8 meters in diameters. With roughly 1 meter spacing there is oval windows, maybe 50 centimeters wide and 30 centimeters high. While I'm watching at the craft I can't keep from thinking that someone is pulling a prank on me. One thought that goes through my head is that there is maybe German pilots that has escaped from some camp. But deep inside, I know I'm wrong. On top of the cabin there is a telescope pole, mast, almost like a periscope on a U-boat. The height of the mast is about the same as the pine, and the thickness of the craft's middle air part I estimate to about 4 meters. At the craft sides about 1 meter, and the mast should be about 5 meter high. At the top of the mast it splits into four parts. Under the top of the mast I spot the lamp that emitted the strange violet light that I spotted from the trail. The lamp is pointing downward towards the craft and cover the whole craft like a cheese ball with just a few meter of light leaking outside the craft. The light itself is sort of pulsating from the lamp, kinda like water from a fountain. And the strangest thing of all is that the light has a curved path. Where the light hits the ground or grass, is dissipa with a sparkling effect, like that of a sparkler. A smell, not too different from ozone, is spreading throughout the air. It's like if an electric curtain has draped over the craft. The body and the cabin seems to be one piece. You can't spot screws, studs or joint anywhere. Around the belly's rim on the craft there is a couple of holes, not unlike those found on turbines, pointing down and are covered with what look like a damper. A few meter in front and outside the light's circle, a man with a white dress on him, is standing. He is dressed like our astronauts is today. No matter how hard I look, I can't see any buttons, zippers or other clothing attachments. On his feet he has blue or black boots that wraps around his legs, around his waist he has a large blue or black belt, on his head something that looks like a rain hoodie or a wind cheetah hoodie with the difference that it also covers the front of his face and are made of some transparent material. On his hand he got finger gloves. On his chest hangs something that looks like a folding camera, but other than that, there is no equipment. The man appears to be a guard. Where I am standing now I am about 10 meters from the craft, and about 7-8 meters from this man. The strange thing was, that when I approached the glade everyone turned to look at me. It was like if I was expected, but not wanted. On top of the craft by one of the windows there was an additional three men, evidently occupied by some kind of work. Right next to them, but below, I see two more men who is assisting and inside the light circle, turned towards me, there is three girls. All dressed the same way, in the same white dress, boots and belt. All the beings that are inside the light has the transparent face mask removed to the back of their heads. Gosta was now about 10 meters from the craft and maybe 7-8 meters from the guard post. He could see that the men and women working on the craft had normal earthly features and the women, or rather, girls, had light or sandra-colored hair, cut and managed in a modern manner. The men's hair Gosta never saw, because of the black hoodie they wore, kinda like the one tank drivers have. From this hood there was something looking like earplugs and it looked like the men was talking to each other via these without moving their mouths. Suddenly something happened. The man who was standing outside the light, which whom I now understand was serving as a guard, did a perfect stop sign with his hand raised. It is a sign that cannot be misinterpreted and I stopped. I still have my lamp on my head, but turned off. The guard points his folding camera looking thing against me, and I get the impression that he is about to take a picture of me. I think I hear a crack from my lamp on my head, that I have turned off, but don't bother with that. I'm about to take a few step closer to him, but he immediately raises his hand and at the same time I hear a crack again from my lamp. I stand still, and the guard take a lap around the craft, always on the outside of a light, the men and the girls continue their work at the cabin. It is possible there is two guards, on the back side of the craft. This might explain why there always was a guard where I was. I feel just like a wild animal must feel, there outside of the light circle, like a safari hunter makes out in the bushes in the African night. Suddenly, a girl with dark curly hair steps down the ladder of the craft. In her hand she holds what looks like a bag and hands out cups to the men and girls. Everyone stops working and starts to drink from the cups. I get the impulse to step forward again and talk to them. But the guard once again raises his hand in line with my face and gives me the stop sign and everyone look at me with a seriousness in their faces. The guard too, like a police officer, this is as far as you get. Kinda look. He won't take his eyes off from me for 1 second. It is like the cheese cup, dome of light screens of the craft from its surroundings and the guard is there to prevent anyone from entering it. Maybe the light would hurt me if I passed into it. When I take a step back, Everyone continue their work and I feel slightly relieved. Two of TH girls give me a beautiful smile and I can see their flashing white teeths. I can brag with almost never being afraid of anything, and I have spent enough time out in the woods to not believe in the devil or trolls. But this was something else. The people at the craft makes me think about folks from the Pentecostal church or something similar. All are happy and glad. You get the impression that they haven't got a problem in the world, and what they had, they have solved already. By the time I am standing there and watching, I can see the crew go in and out the craft, up the ladder next to the fin. When they do that, I observe how the two telescope legs moves up and down. They are spring-loaded like the front wheel of an airplane. Just as I am about to take a step forward again, the girl with the dark curly hair steps outside the cabin again. In her hand she hold a bright shiny object which draws the attention from all the other in the crew. She takes a few steps towards the outskirt of the light dome and throws the object out with a quick motion. It falls right next to a little upslope. At the same time I hear a pearly happy girl's laughter, and I realize this is the first time I hear a noise from them this whole time. But I have heard the crackling of twigs by the gourd's feet on the grass which is spread all over the ground. The whole thing starts to be very surreal to me. And alt I am one those person who has never tasted alcohol in any form, and can therefore not blame this on some kind of hallucination or some other kind of imagination. I decide to hike back to Slervikstrand and then come back to see if it is still here. It takes about 20 minutes to get there. I take off my shoes and socks and wade out in the water to wet my feet just to make sure I'm not dreaming. It is freezing so I am awake all right. This begins to feel slightly frightening. I decide to walk along the beach for a bit and take another path to the way back to the glade so that I come in from the back of the craft instead. When I am about halfway there I got up on the sand hills, jeans again and sit down on an old fort to put my socks back on again and look at the direction from where I first saw the light. Where I am, there is dense young forest so I can't see anything at all. Then, suddenly, I see a red light. At first I thought it was the moon rising, but after closer inspection, I realize that isn't the case. Slowly, and majestic, the craft, which I now see clearly, is rising. It's almost like a balloon rising. Only a whining sound, like that of a vacuum cleaner, can be heard. Higher and higher it goes with a halo of red light from the turbine holes under the craft. At about 400-500 meters altitude it slows down slightly, begins to pendle sideways a bit. I now see that the pole, mast is not up, and the two legs and the fin is nowhere to be seen either. It is a little hazy outside now, but the whole maneuver is clearly visible and the whole craft is illuminated by the red light in the cabin window's light. And then the craft tilts so it is now pointing slightly up or down towards the night sky or the ground. The red light becomes more intense, and the craft shoots out with a tremendous speed. The red light turns into violet. The craft moves sideways from left to right and back again as it was searching for something. The light turns red again as the craft slows down for a bit, but the light turns to violet almost immediately and the craft is speeding again. Three times I watch the craft make the same thing before it finally disappears over Andelham. I stand still for a good amount of time among the sand dunes and are quite disturbed by what I just had witnessed. We who lived through the Second World War was used to see many new terrible weapons from both the Allies and Axis, rearplanes, atom bombs, the Germans' V-1 and V-2 bombs, but almost nothing surprised us anymore. Despite the war end and a year ago I was almost certain this was some secret but delayed weapon that they had kept testing. But had Hitler had one of these craft, surely he wouldn't had lost the war. First several years later when report of unidentified objects started to become more frequent, I started to make the connection between my observation and these new one. Maybe, it wasn't a secret weapon I had witnessed. Maybe not even a craft from this earth. This I can tell you, if the people I saw isn't from this planet and from some alien planet, there wasn't much of a difference from human and them. Maybe a lot more technically advanced than us, but other than that, like height, looks and so on, if you took of their suits, I don't think you could tell the difference from them to us. I go back over the sand dunes to get to the usual way home. Landshövding Road is rough and hard to ride a bike on, so I walk a little, ride a little, walk a little and so on. It is now completely dark, so, to be able to see, I tried turning on my lamp. Out I flick the on switch, nothing happens. I screw off the bottom and take out the batteries. It feels hot, I figured a short circuit had occurred. For a moment I think of the guard and the strange cracking or flicking sound he made when he pointed the black thing against me. But just seems too unreal for me. When I the day after put in some new batteries and tried the lamp, it worked like a charm. Of course it could have a natural explanation, but it did occur during all this, because, I had it lit right up to when I went down towards the light when I shut it off because I wanted to sneak up to whomever it was there in the glade. It had never happened before, not after. When Gustav Carlson continued along Landshövding Road home that night, he followed the road and didn't take any more trip out into the woods. When he lay down on his bed to get some sleep, he couldn't fall asleep. The incident in the woods had disturbed him too much, and his thoughts was on the strange craft and the cruise. Before he finally was able to sleep, he decided that the first thing when he woke up was to head back to the glade. Early next morning, after a cup of coffee, Gosta took his bike and headed towards the beach. In a few minutes he was back where it all had happened. He had returned by one reason only: would there be any remains left from the craft, or crew? It was. When Gosta arrives to the glade just after 4 a.m. on the Sunday morning, a light rain begins to fall over Andhelsm Forest. The sun is up since an hour ago and a lamp is not needed now. When he for the second time in under 6 hours jumps over the little hole with the rainwater in it and follows the sand dune towards the glade, his heart rate begins to rise. What will he find amongst the trees? This time he got a notebook and folding ruler. If there are any remains, he is prepared. He couldn't be sure. And at first glance he was disappointed. From afar he couldn't see anything. First when I got closer I saw the traces, he tells. The marks after the turbine holes was the most apparent trace. Where they were, the grass was burnt off completely. In a ring, about 3 centimeters wide, the sand was completely exposed. A grayish layer of ash was all that remained of the grass. The ring was that deep, just a couple of centimeters, so the liftoff couldn't have had that kind of power as we are used to here on Earth with our vehicles. And that would be, according to what I saw, the truth. As what I witnessed wasn't some known craft with any kind of propulsion system we know about. Beside the burnt ring, Gosta also observed the markings after the fin in the two landing legs. A few meters away, the branches on the pine that was closest to the craft is burned off. And some was covered in black ash. A couple of years later they wither and dies. Gosta measure the place and take note of the sizes of the circles. He make a crude sketch and estimate that the craft was 16 meter in diameter. The prints from the two landing gears has a diameter of about 90 centimeters. Further, you could see boot prints in the grass. Nothing spectacular, the sole of the boot is solid, with a rifle groove pattern. The length don't deviate either, Gosta measured to be about the size of 39 to 44 meters. The boot prints is located in a quarter circle from north to east off of the burned mark. But there is more findings. Just as I was about to leave, I remembered the shiny object the girls had thrown away. I remembered the spot it landed in. When I looked for it, I saw something glimmering in the grass and lifted up what looked like shiny stuff made of what it looked like, violet quartz, about 4 centimeters thick, 5 centimeters wide, and about 12 centimeters tall. It had rounded corners and was burned and smelted in the other end. A few decimeters from there I found a ring with the size about 17 in some kind of a greenish metal and a beautiful stone in it. It didn't look like our modern rings, this one was more fun. There were a couple of X markings on it, which I guess was kinda like initials. My first thought was that someone had dropped it and I should turn it into the police. But I later connected it to the craft. Inside the light dome, close to the burned pine, Gosta finds two of the cups the woman had served the crew. He picks them up and notes the strange looks with the bent pip, almost like an old oil lamp. When he shakes it, he can clearly hear that it still is some liquid content inside it. With his findings in his pockets, he starts to ride his bike home to write a report to the authorities. But the report to Försvarsstaben, Swedish defense staff, never gets sent away. Other, more strange, happenings stops him from doing so. When I got home to show my wife my findings, the first thing she said to me was, "But, your face is all yellow." I looked in a mirror, and right she was. I was all yellow. What was going on? For a moment I started to get really worried. Maybe I had touched on something dangerous. But then I saw that my coat also was yellow. And I could wash it off easily with just tap water. I took some of it and put it under my microscope. Phew, it was pollen. And I knew from where too, the birches of course. The branches had scratched my face on my way to the glade. It was about at that time I started to figure out a method, which succeeded over my expectation, and made it able for me and my company. I started in 1952 to gather pollen in an almost unlimited quantity, and made it possible for me to make a medical product solely based on a resource that has been around for all eternity but never been thought of. So yes, sometime I polish my quartz staff a little, sorry, but I just had to lull that one/netless op, and think about the strange happening, the strange men and girls, and wonder where they could have come from, where were they headed, and will they come back? What happened to Gösta Karlsson in the grass glade these hours between May the 18th and 19th 1946 would lead to a series of unexplained happenings. Gösta started to have vivid dreams in the nights, dreams that just maybe wasn't dreams. Dreams that brought him back to the strange people he saw that night. Text to pictures. Cast iron tablet he had made on the place. On this place landed a UFO 18th May 1946. View from air of the place some later, from car 1949. But still the rings can be seen. I picture up left. Down is a near view of the stone in the ring he got from them. More on what happened next on a later time.